Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday. Hope you're having a great day. Since that time of the year is just about here, let me be the first to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And of course, we got a jam-packed show for you coming up. Let me know also, what's your favorite Christmas tradition? I talked about this with Karis Lau, who's now the chamber director for the Tomahawk Chamber here in town, and we talked about some of our favorite Christmas traditions we had, which happened to be, mine was, every Christmas Eve, my family gets together and we watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It is the best Christmas movie known to man. Do not come and argue with me about it. But let me know what your favorite Christmas tradition is. We got a jam-packed show for you today. Coming up, Hunter Bumgard from 97.3 The Game is going to talk about the Brewers. We'll talk about Willy Adames going to the Giants and also Devin Williams being traded to the Yankees and what the Brewers get in return. We'll also have Hatchet Boys swim coach Teresa Lesperon's in. She's going to talk about the first half of the season. And we're also going to sit down with Hatchet defenseman Austin Lamer, who broke the Tomahawk school record. And we'll chat about what the rest of the season will hold for the senior captain of the Hatchets. But first, we're going to hit the gridiron and talk some Packers. I think that's the only way to go about it.
20-19, Green Bay, 3 seconds to go. They'll place it down to the left hash mark. 36-yard line, 10 to the end zone, 46-yard field goal attempt. Torrey Taylor on the hold, Scott Daly the snap. Cairo Santos for the game. Signals being called. Here's the snap. Placement made. The kick is blocked. It is blocked. It is blocked. And the Packers have won.
Beautiful.
It is blocked. It comes up short. And the Packers have won 11 straight over the Bears. 20-19. Oh, my goodness. What a finish.
So the Packers ended up beating the Seattle Seahawks 30-13 on Sunday night. And I knew that this game was a must-win for Green Bay. Mainly because the Packers, who have been playing well against some teams that they should have beaten. They should have beaten teams like Indianapolis and Tennessee and Jacksonville. And now as we're looking at it, honestly, Houston as well. Should have beaten Miami, which they did. Should have beaten up San Francisco team, which they did. And they beat Seattle, who the Seahawks have been up and down, obviously, this year. Geno Smith has been talented, but he's slowly reverting back to the Jets' Geno Smith that made him the reason why he was a second-round pick in the first place, especially with the interception that he threw in the end zone. But with Green Bay beating Seattle, I can confidently say that was Green Bay's best defensive performance of the season. Best defensive performance of the season. Allowed the Seahawks to play catch-up from the get-go, and pretty much held them out of the end zone for the first three quarters. Didn't allow them to get into the end zone until the fourth, when the game was pretty much decided. Geno Smith and Sam Howell were in, because Smith ultimately got hurt. They sacked him 7 times, most they had in the game since week 3 this year when they had 9 against Will Levis and the Titans. And obviously 2 interceptions definitely helps as well, which ended up turning into 10 Packer points. The field goal, the interception by Carrington Valentine in the end zone. And honestly, the second one was from the star of Sunday night, who was Edgerrin Cooper. He was also just named NFC Defensive Player of the Week for his performance.
Yahoo!
Which is a great thing. That's the second time he's been named NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He had 7 tackles, 2 sacks, tackle for loss, couple pass breakups. He also had an interception. First career interception for him and for Carrington Valentine. He is the first player, he's the first rookie in franchise history to have an interception and a sack in a game since 1991, which is a great achievement. And I think the most impressive thing is that they held the Seahawks to 208 yards of offense. The only reason why Seattle went over 200 yards was because they got the ball back one last time in the final 2 minutes. Edgerrin Cooper, Kingsley Enagbare, Brenton Cox, Rashawn Gary, Carl Brooks, Devontae Wyatt, all of these guys had at least a sack in this game. That goes to show you how dominant that defensive line was. Seattle's offensive line has been inconsistent, to say the least. And it doesn't help that their veteran center, Connor Williams, also retired during the middle of the year. And I think the Packer offense played well for about three quarters outside of the third. They scored on their first four drives. They had two touchdowns on their first two drives and then two field goals towards the end. Jordan Love didn't really wow anybody off with their play, but he was efficient. He had 229 yards, two touchdowns, a 123.8 rating. Exactly what you want out of him when the run game is going like what Josh Jacobs had. 30 touches, 136 yards, and a touchdown. He is now tied for fifth all-time in Packers franchise history for rushing touchdowns in a season. That's with Jim Taylor. Yes, the great Jim Taylor back in 1964. Romeo Doubs, two touchdown catches, and now he is being named Spider-Man with the way that he hauls in the ball. And I can definitely say that I agree with that. That catch in the back of the end zone to seal the game was the best catch made by a Packer all season long. And Christian Watson had a couple of big catches as well, including one where he was twisting and turning to the sideline. That was one of the best catches he's had all season long as well. There was also a hex broken with this win because, for those of you that don't know, Seattle is a tough place to play. And the Packers have had struggles there over the last decade or so. Decade and a half, if you will. That was their first win in Seattle since 2008, which was Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starter. They lost by way of the Fail Mary in 2012. They lost twice in the season opener. They lost twice in 2014 in the season opener and in the NFC Championship game.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
No, wait, we're not going back to that. And then they lost on a Thursday night game back in 2018. And it always feels good to get a win in a tough place to play on the road, just like what Green Bay had against Seattle. Again, see, the Seahawks are one of the toughest places to play. And getting a win on the road also helps the following. The Packers are now on the verge of clinching a playoff spot. They are in a win and in scenario. If they simply beat the Saints on Monday night, which I think they will, Green Bay is officially in the playoffs. Now, for some reason, if they get upset, they could still get in this week with the Giants upsetting the Falcons, which looks possible with the fact that Kirk Cousins has been benched and Michael Penix is in, and we don't really know what we're going to get. And either the Seahawks or the Rams lose. And the Packers are also looking at three games left on the schedule. And two of these three games I definitely see as wins. That's Monday night against New Orleans and home against Chicago. Sandwiched in between that is at Minnesota. And the Vikings are still playing incredibly well this year. They've won seven straight. And Sam Darnold is playing like a virtual MVP candidate. The Minnesota game is going to be tough, especially on the road. U.S. Bank Stadium is always, again, another very tough place to play. And Minnesota has Green Bay and Detroit to end the year. How this NFC playoff picture is going to shape out is going to depend on those three teams in the NFC North. So kudos to the Packers. That was one of their best wins of the season. They now have New Orleans and Minnesota to wrap it up. Minnesota, New Orleans, and Chicago to wrap it up. Something to pay attention to, folks. The playoffs are almost here. Let's go ahead and take a look at the results, by the way, from this past week in the NFL. Rams over the 49ers in a low-scoring affair, 12-6. Chiefs win over the Cleveland Browns, 21-7, but lose Patrick Mahomes due to a high ankle sprain.
Mamma mia!
Cincinnati over Tennessee, 37-21. Washington over New Orleans, 20-19. Baltimore over the Giants, 35-14. Dallas over Carolina, 30-14. Jets over Jaguars, 32-25. Houston over Miami, 20-12. Denver over Indianapolis, 31-13. Buffalo over Detroit, 48-42. My first loss was Philadelphia to Pittsburgh, 27-13. Arizona over New England, 30-17. Tampa Bay scoring 23 points in the second half to beat the Chargers 40-17.
Mamma mia!
Green Bay over Seattle 30-13. Minnesota over Chicago 31-20. Atlanta over Vegas, 15-9. I went 14-2 this past weekend with my predictions. That puts me at 150-75 overall, which is a very, very impressive record, if I do say so myself. Looking at the NFL playoff picture, not really much has changed. The biggest one is in the NFC. With the Seahawks losing, the LA Rams are now in possession of first place in the NFC West. The NFC West looks like another division that will go down to the last week. Detroit and Philadelphia are still in the mix. Tampa, Detroit and Philadelphia, still the top two seeds. Tampa Bay is now the 3 seed, and the Rams are the 4 seed. The wild cards are still the same. Meanwhile, in the AFC, the 3 teams are still the same. The positioning has changed a bit. The Chargers are now down at number 7. Denver's at number 6. Baltimore is at number 5. The Texans clinched the AFC South title with a win this past weekend over Miami. Pittsburgh still leading the AFC South at 10-4. Buffalo at 11-3. Kansas City at 13-1. And really, the AFC playoff picture is almost pretty much shaping out. The 3 teams that are in the hunt are all 6-8, so they're going to need to win out and get help. That's where the NFL playoff picture is. Here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, under Baumgart from 97.3 The Game will join the show. We're going to talk about the Brewers' moves they made in the offseason after this.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
If you're looking for a freshly cut, locally grown Christmas tree, then pick yours out today at V-Goods Do It Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk. Brian is featuring a beautiful selection of balsam trees from 6 to 10 feet. V-Goods Do It Express also has a variety of wreaths from 24 to 36 or the large 48-inch size wreath, plus an array of holiday decorations in their trim a tree department. V-Goods Do It Express, North 4th Street in Tomahawk, ready for the holidays.
Make it a warm holiday season with the Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilge's LP Gas. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating systems rated by Energy Star, so make sure you're prepared for our Northwoods winter with your new Carrier furnace. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. No matter what your home comfort needs, you can count on Carrier and Hilge's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilge's LP Gas on South Tomahawk Avenue. Call Hilge's at 453-3505.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It's now time for our state interview of the day, and joining us right back on the line from 97.3 The Game, Hunter Baumgart. Hunter, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, Alex, absolutely. Always great to join you, and happy holidays to everyone there in Tomahawk.
Happy holidays to you as well, Hunter. So let's go ahead and talk some Brewers offseason here. A couple of moves that were, you know, kind of expected, but still sad that it happened. Let's start off with Willy Adames. He signed a 7-year, $182 million deal with the San Francisco Giants. Let me start off by asking you, what do you think about the move?
Yeah, I think it was pretty expected, unfortunately. I knew there was a very low chance of him coming back to Milwaukee. Obviously, you would have loved for him to somehow take a team-friendly deal. But at this point in his career, it's the one time he's going to be able to cash in. He had a monstrous contract season the year before his contract was up. Not all players have that, where they go out and they perform the way he performed in that season. Now, his errors were up, and his defense wasn't as good maybe in years past. But look, those home run numbers are going to get you money. Those production, you know, that production is going to get you money. And also the way he is, the clubhouse leader that we know he is, that's going to land you, you know, some money as well. So all that combined, I knew it was a small chance he'd come back to Milwaukee, if any. And then when I saw 7 years, $182 million, I went, oh, yeah, okay, there was no chance that was going to happen, that he was going to be back in Milwaukee. But I think it was a little surprising with the Giants. I don't know if they were necessarily on my radar, but it makes sense for him, right? It's not the biggest market. It's not L.A., New York, Chicago. It's a team that is, you know, trying to build itself back. It's a player-led organization, and the fact that they just hired their former catcher Buster Posey to make their moves. you know, as their, I don't know if he, I think he's the official GM or president of baseball operations, one of the two. And he's, you know, he's the one making moves. He's the one signing Willie Adames. So, you know, that makes sense. I'm sure Willie can relate well to him as a, as Buster's a recent former player. I think president of baseball ops is what he is. But I think that all kind of makes sense. And he talked about the diversity of, in the city of San Francisco in his press conference when he was introduced. And so it wasn't necessarily on my radar, but now that he's there and he put the uniform on, it does make more sense, you know, now that I think about it.
So, Hunter, with Adames leaving Milwaukee, the Brewers still have a stellar infield. You still have Bryce Terang. You still have Joey Ortiz, Rhys Hoskins back, at least for now. Where do you think Milwaukee goes with their infield?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, I think that's the biggest one. And honestly, and I know we'll get to the Devin Williams news here in a minute, but that a little bit maybe put you, you know, kind of widen our eyes a little bit to what the Brewers could do, and the fact that they got Caleb Durbin back in that deal. You know, a guy who hasn't played in the majors, but, you know, Joey Ortiz only had, you know, 30-some at-bats in the majors before he came in, was your starting third baseman last year. So maybe that's the case, you know, coming into 2025. Maybe you have Caleb Durbin do that and see what he's got. And I think it'll be a competition over there at third, assuming they don't sign anyone else. But I think Joey Ortiz is the one who goes to short. And then I think it's after that, you know, I think at third base, it's kind of going to be anyone's game. I think Durbin is maybe the front runner at the moment, because otherwise it's Monasterio, it's Tyler Black. It's, you know, I don't know, you know, Tyler Black's an interesting one. I feel like maybe they want him more at first base, and you need a backup first baseman because Bowers is gone and Hoskins is back. So you're going to need someone to fill that time over there. And we know that Yelich going to first base has not been something that they want to do. So I think it's going to be Joey Ortiz at short. Terang stays at second. You know, obviously you have Rhys at first, and then maybe Tyler Black backing up over there. And then third base is your open. You have Durbin. You have, I think, Oliver Dunn is, I think, still on this roster. Andrew Monasterio is over there as well. But they got to solidify it. But again, this is how it was heading into last year, and Joey Ortiz came out and he took that, you know, he took it by hold, and he took that third base position and said it's mine, and he played really well, and honestly had one of the best, you know, rookie seasons that the Brewers have seen in a while. So I think that could happen with Durbin. And time will tell, but I do think Joey goes to short.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hunter, let's go ahead and now shift gears over to the Devin Williams trade. The Brewers traded Devin Williams to the New York Yankees for Caleb Durbin, who you mentioned, and also left-handed starter Nestor Cortez. What do you think about Milwaukee's return for Williams?
Well, it's interesting. I know, you know, some fans maybe wanted more for a guy who's as good as Devin Williams is. But you also got to understand that he's only got 1 year left, you know, on his deal. So technically the Yankees are getting him for a rental, and then they hope to probably re-sign him, and they'll have the money to re-sign him. But that is no guarantee. And Devin Williams said to the New York media yesterday, be open to extension talks, obviously. But I think, you know, it makes sense. They got Nestor Cortez, a guy who is going to, you know, be a veteran in that rotation that you kind of needed. You kind of needed another, you know, veteran guy in there. What Nestor Cortez is going to do still remains to be seen. He had a 3.77 ERA last year, but in 2023 he had a 4.97, I should say, ERA. But just two and a half years ago in 2022, he had a 2.44 ERA and was an All-Star. So he's not that far removed, and he was eighth in Cy Young voting in 2022. So Nestor Cortez has that in him. And what have we seen from the Milwaukee Brewers? They've been able to take pitchers and get the absolute best out of them. And they've been able to do it mostly with younger pitchers. But look, they can resurrect guys as well. And I, you know, Colin Ray comes to mind. Cortez, I feel like, you know, get him in the lab, get him with Chris Hook, the pitching coach, who just signed his multi-year extension with the team, and get him in there and see if you can get him back to that 2022 form. Now, the other part of that is Caleb Durbin, and Durbin is a guy he's fast. He fits the Pat Murphy style of baseball, and that's what Matt Arnold, when he was talking with us, the GM of the Brewers, you know, after he made this deal, he was saying how much he fits that Pat Murphy style of baseball. So I said, how important is that, or asked him how important it is for the Brewers when acquiring a player right now to make sure it fits Pat Murphy's style. And he said it's super important. He said he called Pat Murphy after the deal was made, and Pat Murphy's pumped to have Durbin on the ball club. Now, he hasn't played in the majors, so he'll have to earn his spot on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But he also set the, you know, this fall, Pat Murphy was actually watching him in Arizona, and Durbin set the record for the Arizona Fall League stolen bases.
Hmm.
This guy has speed, and the Brewers love speed right now. He also has versatility. He can play second. He can play third. He could probably play short, too, but I don't think they're going to do that. But, yeah, I mean, so you got a nice player there. He has some power. He had 275, you know, in his games in AAA last year for the Yankees. So we'll see. It's, and, you know, with all these, right, when Burns was traded, it was Jory Ortiz and D.L. Hall. Who knows? Well, Jory Ortiz is now probably going to be your starting shortstop. And D.L. Hall, I'm still excited about and to see what he can do. So you kind of never know with these trades, but the return, I think you got what you could, and you got some cash in return as well. And look, Devin Williams wasn't going to be back after this year, so you wanted to get something for him, and you did.
Yeah. So, Hunter, now with Devin Williams in New York, who do you think will take over as the Brewers' closer?
That is the question. I think the guys are going to have to earn it. You know, a couple of guys that filled in for him last year. I mean, remember, Devin Williams was out till late July. So this team played without Devin Williams for most of last season. And unfortunately, they lost on a home run that was given up by Devin Williams. And nobody has to, you know, remember that night. But
don't tell me.
we're not gonna revisit that moment. It's really unfortunate though, all the games that Devin Williams had and the great moments that his last inning was as a Brewer was that inning. That's rough. But you know, but look, they have obviously Trevor McGill's up there, right? He was your eighth inning guy and your closer for most of the time when Devin Williams was down. And Abner Uribe is a guy we kind of forgot about because he started the year hot with the closer and kind of that fiery closer that you want. And then he got in the brawl and then he had knee surgery and he never really regained form. If he can mature a little bit, I think Abner Uribe is a guy who could fill that position too. Maybe that's your eight, nine guys in that rotation, eighth and ninth inning, in any particular order, however they see fit. But I also see Pat Murphy maybe thinking, you know, let's go by closer by committee a little bit. If one guy, you know, is down a night, you can put another guy in there because I think they have other guys in that bullpen that can do that. But I got to think that coming into the season, either McGill or Uribe is going to get most of the time at closer.
So, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hunter, final question I have for you. Still in the winter meetings phase here with the Brewers, do you see any other moves that the Brewers could make before spring training?
Yeah, I was talking with Tim Allen, our baseball postgame show host here in Milwaukee on The Game yesterday morning. He's like, I kind of think they're done. I'm like, I kind of think they are too. Like, I don't know. You know, unless you go out and sign a free agent, maybe you do, but I don't know. It's interesting. The Cardinals have flat out said that they want to trade Nolan Arenado, but I don't think they're going to trade him in the division. And so I think maybe, you know, maybe one of these under-the-radar guys, they always have, you know, a couple of them who they sign later in the season, or later in the offseason, I should say, we're into spring training, maybe an under-the-radar guy who can, you know, Tobias Myers, you know, is a kind of guy that comes to mind, right? A guy that's maybe trying to resurrect himself and then becomes, you know, a big part of the team like Tobias was last year. So maybe it's a pit. You can never have enough pitching. So maybe a pitcher, maybe it's an infielder, you know, to help at third base. I would be surprised if they don't add one more infielder to compete over there at third base, you know, and see, because I really think Joey goes to short, so you're going to have an open third base spot, but your outfield is set. I mean, you've got Christian Yelich should be well and all back into normal heading into spring training. So I think they're pretty much done. A bullpen arm I wouldn't be surprised with adding as well. So, you know, who knows? I don't, you know, it's going to be, the good news is you got Yelich coming back, you got Brandon Woodruff coming back, you know, hopefully it looks like he's, you know, looks like he's going to throw up a mound in January, and hopefully we'll, you know, at least be back in the first part of the season. Shoulder injuries, shoulder surgery, it's so hard to tell when guys are going to be back sometimes, but I think they're pretty much done, but I wouldn't be surprised with a small move here or there. I don't know. Maybe they do go and make a bigger move. Look, the Hoskins deal they did in January last year. So
that's true.
Who knows? Maybe they do go and sign a third baseman. There's not a lot out there other than Alex Bregman. You're not going to pay Alex Bregman if you didn't pay Willy Adames.
No.
You're not going to get him. But I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you go out and you sign a guy, you know, that I'm not, you know, that isn't top of mind and in January. Who knows? You know, but again, I think they're pretty much done as of now, at least for the holiday season.
Again, Willy Adames signs a 7-year, $182 million contract with the San Francisco Giants, and Devin Williams has been traded to the New York Yankees. New Brewers that the team got are Nestor Cortez and Caleb Durbin. Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Alex, and happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays to you as well. Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggie with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Thank you very much to Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game for joining me on the Sports Q today. Always good to talk a little Brewers. Very curious to see what Nestor Cortez and Caleb Durbin do as members of the crew next year. Coming up on part two of the show, we've got two Hatchet interviews on tap for you today. First off, we'll chat with Hatchet Boy Swim Coach Teresa L'Esperance, get her thoughts on the first half of the season. And we're also going to have Hatchet hockey defenseman Austin Lamer in. He broke the scoring record for most career points against Marshfield on Friday. We'll chat with him and his thoughts on what the rest of the season holds. We're also going to chat the Bucks NBA Cup Championship win over the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. And then we'll also get into our week 16 NFL predictions as the NFL playoffs start to heat up. A lot happening here. Before we dive right into CBS News, quick note, obviously next week is Christmas Day, which is obviously great.
Yahoo!
That means that we're not going to have a Sports Q show next week.
Wah, wah, wah.
However, we'll go ahead and do the Sports Q coming up on January 1st. So there'll be no Sports Q on Christmas Day, but there will be one on New Year's Day. And we also already have a Hatchet alumni that will be on New Year's Day. Megan Scholes, Hatchet volleyball alum and volleyball player from the University of DePaul, will join the show. She's going to talk about what her college volleyball life has been like, and we'll recap what her sophomore season was. That will be coming up on the Sports Q on January 1st here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Our temperature in the Northwoods is at 18 degrees under overcast skies with our wind chill at about 16. It's now 6 o'clock and time for our CBS World News Roundup.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Short-term government funding bill.
It's a total dumpster fire. I think it's garbage.
Fed key interest rate cut.
Today was a closer call, but we decided it was the right call.
Supreme Court agrees to hear TikTok arguments.
A last-ditch effort by the Chinese-owned social media company.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A measure designed to avoid a partial government shutdown after midnight on Friday and keep the government funded through March 14th is not expected to come up for a vote tonight. The continuing resolution has add-ons in it and to have some Republicans, including President-elect Donald Trump, fired up. Vice President-elect J.D. Vance.
Well, what the president believes is we should support a clean CR so long as it contains a debt limit increase. That's the position of the president, and that's what we're going to try to push for.
CBS's Torian Small says of Trump,
he's calling on Republicans to go back to the drawing board and think of something else. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries said that it appears Republicans are following after Donald Trump's lead here.
In an unusual but not unprecedented move, the House Ethics Committee has voted in secret to release the ethics report into sexual misconduct allegations against former Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz, who withdrew from attorney general consideration last month. U.S. stocks tumbled to one of their worst days of the year after the Federal Reserve hinted at only two rate cuts in 2025. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
The slower pace of cuts for next year really reflects both the higher inflation readings we've had this year and the expectation that inflation will be higher.
The Fed has cut its key rate by a quarter percentage point. The Dow closed down over 1,100 points. The Nasdaq fell 716. United Healthcare CEO murder suspect Luigi Mangione is expected to waive extradition. A lawyer for Mangione tells CBS News New York it will happen at his hearing in Pennsylvania tomorrow morning. TikTok is getting its hearing before the U.S. Supreme Court. CBS's Jan Crawford.
The appeal was a last-ditch effort by the Chinese-owned social media company. Today, the justices agreed to decide whether a federal law that would force TikTok to shut down in the U.S. if it's not sold to an American owner by January 19th violates the First Amendment.
Authorities investigating this week's shooting at a Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin, say determining the motive of the shooter is their top priority. CBS's Anna Schechter says of new court records on the 15-year-old shooter who police say died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
We have obtained the divorce records from her parents that show a custody arrangement where she was moving back and forth every couple of days between parents, that she was enrolled in therapy.
Now this.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
California's governor has declared a state of emergency over bird flu. Governor Gavin Newsom says more bird flu cases have been detected in Southern California dairy cows. Meantime, in Louisiana, WSB's Sabrina Cupid says the CDC reports the first severe illness in a person due to bird flu.
This person was reportedly exposed to sick and dead birds in backyard flocks.
The NASA astronauts stranded at the International Space Station and their families remain resilient in the face of yet another extension of their tour. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Stranded NASA astronaut Butch Wilmore says the jump from what was meant to be an eight-day mission to 10 months or longer doesn't change their work ethic.
Whatever it is, we're going to do the very best job we can do every single day.
Wilmore says the hardest part is a toll on their families, but he says he is grateful that they will grow from this in a way they could not have in any other situation. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. 18 degrees here in the Northwoods under overcast and dusk skies. Just a quick reminder, Winter weather advisory will be in effect for Price and Taylor counties starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. That will go until 3 Friday morning. And then the same winter weather advisory will go into effect at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning for Vilas, Jackson, Oneida, Forest, and Lincoln counties. That will go until 3 o'clock. Looks like we can expect a couple of inches of snow at least tomorrow. Looks like you're looking at least 2 to 4. We'll have our weather forecast from Brittany Merlot coming up after this from Standard Mercantile. And following that, we'll chat with Hatchet Boys swim coach Teresa Lesperance to get her thoughts on the first half of the season. That's next.
Standard Mercantile would like to thank their customers for a great year and for shopping with them. During the holiday season, their thoughts turn gratefully to those who have made their success possible. It is in this spirit that they say thank you and send best wishes for the holidays and new year. A special thank you to Mary Smith, who each year uses her creativity to decorate Main Street with window displays that bring hometown Christmas to life. Don't forget all the elves that help, especially Mike and Shelby, who do a lot of the heavy lifting. Standard Mercantile. Anything but standard.
The forecast for the Northwoods. A winter storm is sitting on our back doorstep. And in fact, a winter storm warning starts for Taylor County at 3 a.m. with winter weather advisories activated at 9 a.m. for Lincoln, Oneida, Vilas, and Langlade counties, where a good 2 to 4 inches of snow is possible throughout the day tomorrow. It'll be breezy too, with winds gusting around 20 miles per hour as high as smack 20. It'll be a light and fluffy snow, which will continue into tomorrow night too, putting down another inch or so. Turning to flurries by Friday morning, we'll see some sun peeking out by Friday afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along on this Wednesday evening. And it is now time for our first Hatchet interview of the night, coming to you from right here in Tomahawk. Joining me live and on the air is Hatchet Boys swim coach, Teresa Lesperance. Teresa, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
Of course.
I always love coming.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you here. That's the important thing. So, Coach, this is the first time we've been able to talk really since the beginning of the season. Your expectations were a little bit higher. Your optimism was there. What have you liked the most about this team so far through the first half of the season?
I'm not sure if it's their joy of being in the pool or just having such a big team that they feel like they are part of a swimming program. So it's kind of both.
Again, you have 13 kids on your roster, as you stated at the beginning of the year, the most that you've had in your team in a long time. What does having this amount of kids, you think, mean for the sport?
Well, a lot of kids are more aware of who is swimming. So then someone else goes, oh, if so-and-so is swimming, maybe I'll try. It's really good because we also have our club that kind of shares, we share the pool. And when they see these amount of boys, then other boys want to come. So it's really important.
And talking here with Hatchet Boys swim coach Teresa Lesperance here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coach, looking at the first half recap and able to come out to one of your meets as well, what has impressed you the most so far from your team?
How fast they're swimming. They now that I'm not teaching, I have hours of time to spend on data. So I can go back and look, you know, last year's times versus the year before that. Where were we? Where were we practicing? What is the yardage we're doing? And we're 2-3 seconds ahead of all our relays. That's very, very exciting.
Give me a couple of underclassmen that you think have taken a big step forward already.
Well, both Connor Germano and Max Amosi, who have big brothers in the program, have really kind of led the way for our B relays because they have experience. They've been swimming. And I have kind of pushed them a little bit more. I don't let them swim with the younger swimmers. And they've really stepped forward and done that because I have brand new swimmers. I mean, swimming at the lake is one thing. Getting in the pool and swimming 25 yards is another.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So I have had to teach 4 guys how to swim. And they're amazing. I'm not kidding you. They are amazing at what they're doing.
Which is wonderful to hear.
Yes.
It really is. So as we look at this particular team here, Coach, what do you think you need to work on the most to prepare yourselves for the second half of the year?
I think really focusing on the final goal, which is it going to be sectional or is it going to be state? I'm pretty much going to divide my team up into those categories, and the kids that really want to work hard, we're going to really focus on state. We went to state last year with two guys, Dane and Zach, and they wanted more. They want more than just attending state. They want a relay team. And that every boy on that team wants a relay team to go to state because that's what it's all about.
You know, you look at your squad that you have. You have a lot of really good upperclassmen. You mentioned Dane DeKeep. You got Zach Germano, Jack Amelsey. What have those three been like as leaders for your squad so far this year?
They are all completely different. I mean, Jack is the big boy. I mean, when you look at him, he's all muscle. And what he does in the pool is amazing. And then there is Sam, who is just quiet and does the job every day, comes in and does it. And then Germano is, okay, I'm kind of the happy guy here as the bunch. I'm going to do my lifting. I'm going to do my swimming, but I'm going to have a good time too. And I think that's each one of them brings something to the table.
And talking here with Hatchet boys swim coach Teresa L'Esperance here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. So, Coach, you do have one more dual meet before the calendar year ends. That's tomorrow night. You go to Shawano. What can you tell me about Shawano as you get yourselves ready for tomorrow?
Well, I heard they added another school to their roster, so now it's Shawano, Seymour, Clintonville. That gets pretty tough when they start combining all those schools and they have so many numbers. And I am a little short swimmers. I've got some vacationers right now. So Dane, you know, one of my top swimmers, and Jack and Max are gone. I do know that Shawano has beaten, and I've looked at their times, both Anago and Medford, but so did we. Now, competitively, if I had my full team, I'd give it everything I have, and I think we could come out a winner. But we're a little bit short, so we're going to really show, you know, we're going to have kids swimming events that they've never swam before. Because they have to. They need to step up because there's people missing. And I really saw that was really pretty cool with the younger kids.
Coach, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Oh, I'm really excited for like after Christmas to get ready to the tournament season because it does happen fast. And I'm just grateful to be coaching because, you know, I'm getting up there.
I haven't noticed.
Is it the hair color?
I don't know. Okay. It could be.
I mean, I was the announcer at the middle school today, and 42 years of coaching, that's a while.
Yeah. It is. I get it.
Yeah. So I'm just really grateful that the community accepts me and allows me to coach these kids because it really is a blast.
Well, of course, we're happy to have you as a boys swim coach.
Thanks, Alex.
Again, final Great Northern Conference dual meet of the calendar year is tomorrow for Tomahawk. They are in Shawano. Events begin at 5:30. Hatchet boys swim coach Teresa L'Esperance. Coach, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q right after this. We'll chat with Hatchet defenseman Austin Lamer to get his thoughts on breaking the Hatchet all-time scoring record. That's next here on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Make your next vehicle buying experience easy at Bremen Merrill Ford. How? Let's start with our sales team, who consistently ranks among the top in overall sales experience and sales satisfaction. Ranked high because of their commitment to making everyone's vehicle buying experience easy and enjoyable. And of course, the obvious. Bremen Merrill Ford will give you the absolute best price on all new and used trucks and SUVs. In addition to the best price, Bremen Merrill Ford has the best selection of late model trucks and SUVs to choose from. All inspected and fully reconditioned by factory trained and experienced Ford technicians. Buying your next vehicle is easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford. With their top-rated sales team, best price, and huge selection of premium trucks and SUVs. Come see why everyone is saying it's so easy to find their next vehicle at Bremen Merrill Ford. Exit 211 South Merrill. Online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
It's easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford.
Are you curious what's the value of your home? Have you been thinking now is a good time to upgrade or downsize? Hi, this is Tim Nelson, Associate Broker at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. It's my desire to treat people like family, to care, and provide a phenomenal real estate experience. I will work very hard to ensure you are successful and have peace of mind in your buying and selling experience. Buying and selling real estate can be very stressful, difficult, and intense, but I am determined to help folks thrive, be confident, and get great results. It would be an honor to care and serve you, your loved ones, and friends. Thank you and have an awesome day.
Jet tries to leave it back, does for Austin. Now back to Rex. Tomahawk will set it up. Austin, one-time shot. He scores! That was a rocket from Austin Lamer. He comes away with a big goal, 9-0 Hatchets. That was a dart from the Defensive Player of the Year, the Piscula Award winner from last year. Austin Lamer has now just set the school record for most points in a career. Congratulations to Austin Lamer. Phenomenal performance and a phenomenal career from a phenomenal defenseman for the Hatchets. Congratulations to Austin Lamer. That is a phenomenal award.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. And we have a special Hatchet interview on tap for tonight. Currently joining me on the line, he is now officially the all-time leading scorer in Tomahawk hockey history. Defenseman, Piscula Award winner for the best defenseman in the state last year, reigning Great Northern Conference Player of the Year, state semifinalist, and captain of the hockey team, Hatchet senior Austin Lamer. Austin, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me, Alex.
Of course. Austin, let's go ahead and start off with this. You became Tomahawk's leading scorer all time with a rocket goal from the blue line in the second period against Marshfield. How did it feel to be Tomahawk's all-time leading scorer?
So right in the moment, actually, I didn't really know that I was approaching the number, and then kind of happened, and I was a little bit shocked and very grateful to have the record.
So, Austin, looking at this team and what a win does for you against Marshfield, shutting them out 12-0, what do you think a win for that team does for you moving forward?
It carries a whole lot of momentum coming into this week and then our big tournament that we have over the holiday break. So this was our third game now that we haven't been scored on, and I think we need to continue our defensive structure work and also our offensive power coming here forward in these next few games.
Again, talking here with Hatch defenseman Austin Lamer here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Austin, your team is now ranked number one in the state in Division II at the beginning of this particular season. What does being ranked number one in the state do for your team's confidence?
It boosts it a lot, that's for sure. But we all know that we have to keep on working to hold that spot because it's just not given out. With that number one spot comes a whole lot of work and effort, and we need to continue doing that throughout the season.
So, Austin, going back to your achievement that you had, becoming Tomahawk's all-time leading scorer, how did it feel to have the guy that you surpassed actually officiating that particular game that night?
It was a really cool moment. Got to talk to him a little bit, and he was super happy for me, and it was really cool.
So, again, the gentleman that Austin Lamer passed was Dustin Madlung to become Tomahawk's all-time leading scorer. Austin, your team has won 7 straight games to begin the season. Why do you think your team has been playing so well?
We have just all accepted our roles in the team here, and we're all working with inside our structures and systems, and that is why we've had the success we have had.
And we're talking here with Hatchet captain and defenseman Austin Lamer, who broke the school record for most career points here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Austin, obviously, I said your accolades right at the top. You have won the Great Northern Conference Player of the Year, the Piscula Award winner for the best defenseman in Division II in the state. You have a state semifinalist and now a Great Northern Conference champion as well. What do you think is the next step for this team?
I think just building off of our success and keeping our standards high so that we all have a goal to push towards, both individually, as individuals and also as a team, but mainly as a team goal to, make it back to that state tournament, but come out on top this time.
So, Austin, as you look ahead to the final few games that you have this season, you've got some tough opponents coming up. You talk about West Bend and Eau Claire North, obviously, in that NINA tournament that you mentioned. You also have a great Northern Conference opponent in Medford coming up this week. What do you think this team needs to do better, if anything?
You know, I think we're playing really good hockey now, but we just have to, keep an eye on each other and hold ourselves accountable so we don't slip up against these, weaker teams, and making sure that we're still playing the right hockey so we do come into these more challenging games where we're still playing good hockey and all working inside of our systems and structures.
Austin, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up here?
No, thanks.
All right. Austin Lamer again becomes Tomahawk's all-time leading scorer, passing Dustin Madlung. Tomahawk takes on Medford Thursday night. Next broadcast of Hatchet Hockey is Saturday afternoon as Tomahawk takes on West Bend. Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show will begin at 12:35. Puck drop is at 1 o'clock, and Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth. Austin Lamer, congratulations on becoming Tomahawk's all-time leading scorer, and thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course, Austin Lamer here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Hi, it's Jessica from Crossbridge Community Bank. Purpose first means being thoughtful about our customers' needs, our employees' happiness, and our community's growth. At Crossbridge Community Bank, we work to ensure that your experience with us is not just transactional, but transformative. You play a role in the future of our area, and your success is our success. It's Tomahawk and Merrill success. So bank somewhere that puts purpose first. Stop in today at our location in Tomahawk on 4th and Somo, or in Merrill, right on Main Street. We can't wait to see you. Crossbridge Community Bank, purpose first.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along on this Wednesday. Thank you very much both to Teresa Lesperance and Austin Lambert for joining me on the Sports Q for today. Always a pleasure to talk to both of them. Now we're going to go ahead and shift right back to the gridiron, talk some Badger football. What do you say? So the Badgers are not in a bowl game for the first time since 2002, which is unfortunate. So that means that the transfer portal is now open and Badger players have been coming and going. Brandon Locke and Tyler Van Dyke are leaving, and also earlier today, CJ Williams and Will Pauling announced that they will be leaving. So this is who Wisconsin has brought in, some of the key contributors that they have so far through the transfer portal. Let's go ahead and start out with the quarterbacks, shall we? So the quarterbacks that came in are one of them has been a multi-starter. None of them was a true freshman for this past year. So the guy that has been, the two quarterbacks that are coming in are Billy Edwards Jr., who's transferring from Maryland, and Danny O'Neill from San Diego State. Now, both of these quarterbacks are good. All right, I think that they will transfer over. Don't look at the records. Look at how they have performed. Maryland really hasn't been a football powerhouse. And honestly, San Diego State has struggled mightily throughout the last couple of years. Billy Edwards, when he was in Maryland, had 15 touchdowns, 9 picks, 2,881 yards, and a 65% completion percentage. He also had 5 rushing touchdowns. Maryland finished 4-8. And the other transfer, Danny O'Neill from San Diego State, who was a true freshman last year, completed 63% of his passes, threw for 2,181 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 6 picks, with a 3-9 record as a starter. When it comes to these transfer additions, you can't take a look at them and, you know, pinpoint if they're going to be good or not. That's the thing with the transfer portal. However, what you can do is look at the team's scheme and their offensive coordinator and coach and say, okay, are they going to be a good fit? Now, there are another additions like Jaden Ballard, wide receiver from Ohio State going to Wisconsin. That is a huge boost for Wisconsin in terms of the passing game. Now, I don't necessarily know what the offense is going to be under their new head coach, under their new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes. What I can tell you is that last year, even though Kansas is a mediocre program, they still finished top 10 in college football in rushing. So that goes without saying. Let's take a look at some of the other additions. The other offensive addition, and this is a big one. Badger fans are really excited, and I can understand their excitement. Tanner Koziol, the tight end from Ball State. Last year, these were the numbers for Tanner Koziol, and he was probably, statistically wise, top 5 in receptions, yards, and touchdowns among tight ends. 94 catches, 839 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That is a great stat line. Now you go to the defensive additions that are made. The Badgers have now brought in 5 defensive transfers, who are from University of Tennessee Martin, Charles Perkins. He's a redshirt junior. As a redshirt sophomore last year, he had 40 tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, and 2 forced fumbles. He was also an All-FCS freshman All-American in 2023. Took a big step forward. Let's see if he can translate his game to that. Corey Walker, defensive end from Western Michigan, is also coming to Wisconsin. 70 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 8 sacks, 9 pass deflections, and a forced fumble in 4 years as a starter for Western Michigan. He will be coming as a graduate transfer. Parker Peterson, the defensive lineman from Tulane, had 21 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, and 2.5 sacks. And then finally, their other one is Mason Rieger, their pass rusher from Louisville. He's a graduate transfer, missed last year due to injury, so he does have another year of eligibility. But in 2023, he had 5 sacks, which is good. And then Matthew Traynor, the safety from Richmond, is now starting to be hyped, if you will, as a good replacement for Hunter Waller. Now, what do all of these transfer portal additions mean? Well, it means that Wisconsin is looking like that they're going to go back to their identity, which is run the football, control the pace, control the clock, and see if you can run opponents into the ground. The air raid experiment, again, under Phil Longo, we'll just be blunt about it, was not good. It was not good. Will Grimes' Kansas offense was ranked 53rd last year, okay? Phil Longo and the Badgers, they were 109th in total offense. That's bad. That is bad. Plain and simple. No other way around it. So with adding these defensive linemen, adding the tight end, which the tight end from Ball State, Koziol, he had more receptions, yards, and touchdowns last season than all of the Wisconsin tight ends combined last year. And this is Wisconsin, who has put forth NFL-caliber tight ends like Lance Kendricks and Owen Daniels and Travis Beckham and Jacob Pettersson. That has got to change. Now, again, I don't know if this is necessarily going back to, I don't know how often they will use the tight end. I don't know how often they will be using them in the run block game. I don't know how often that they're going to be using them in the pass block game. What I can tell you is any time that you bring in a run-first offensive coordinator who was an offensive line coach, your emphasis is going to be on bringing in running backs, offensive linemen, and defensive linemen in order to try and control the pace of the game. So now that Wisconsin is in the offseason, now we can go ahead and, you know, safely shift around and say that next year hopefully will be better for Wisconsin than it has been the last 2 years. Because you got to win better than 5-7 games over your last 2 years. They were 12-13 over the last 2 years. for the Badgers. That's not Wisconsin football. Wisconsin football is finishing with 9 wins, finishing with 10 wins, getting to a high-quality bowl game, and competing for a national championship, which in the 12-player format, in some of the past years that the college football has been in, you can make a legitimate argument that some of the teams that are in the playoff right now, or some of the teams that Wisconsin has had over the last couple of years, you can make the argument they'd be in the playoff right now. This is going to be a very important year next year for Wisconsin football. Let's see if Luke Fickell answers the call. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ at 6:30. We'll take a look at our weather forecast. After that, we'll chat about the Bucks NBA Cup Championship for the first time in franchise history and our Week 16 NFL predictions. That's next here on the Sports Queue on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Queue on WJJQ.
John J. Schuene Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuene Construction of Tomahawk.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. A winter weather advisory begins at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Slight chance of snow tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 7 above. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Right now, 17.
Going over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house or anywhere else, get there safe and in style in your next vehicle from the Auto House in Tomahawk. For over 40 years, Gary has kept his lot stocked with vehicles with style and safety in mind, and that's doing business the right way. The Auto House has your back after you drive away from the lot with an ASC-certified service department for scheduled maintenance or if you need any other service. And it's always been a point of pride for Gary that if you don't see what you're looking for on his lot, he does his best to find exactly what you're looking for. And if you ever need a rental vehicle, the Auto House has rental vehicles. The Auto House is located on North 4th and Tomahawk and online at autohousecars.net. That's AutoHouseCars.net. Happy holidays from the Auto House in Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday evening here in the Northwoods today. It is now 6:30, and it is now time to talk some Bucks basketball. They played in the NBA Cup Final last night, and this is what happened.
Can't lead against Giannis. Crosses over, shovel pass, and count! Giannis gets the block! Got two to work with. Dame off the bounce against Brooks. Dame driving inside, gets it to go!
So the Bucks won their first NBA Cup title ever. They defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder 97-81. Kudos to them. So Giannis Antetokounmpo was instrumental in the Bucks Cup win last night. 26 points, 19 rebounds, and 10 assists. And I went back and watched the game after I did the girls game in Crandon last night. And allow me to say, that was the Bucks' best defensive performance of the season. So the Oklahoma City Thunder, for those of you that don't follow the NBA, the Thunder are a very, very good team. They have the best defense statistically right now in the NBA. And they have an electric guard named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who has been essentially a staple of that particular franchise for the last few years. They've got some very good complementary pieces like Jalen Williams, Lu Dort. They've got Isaiah Hartenstein, who they brought over from the New York Knicks. Do you know what the Thunder shot from three-point range last night? 5 of 32. The Thunder shot 5 of 32 from three-point range. That is the worst three-point percentage from any team in any game so far this year. The Thunder scored 31 points in the second half, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 21 points, which is good. He was 8 for 24 from the field, 2 of 9 from three-point range. The Bucks shut down the Thunder on the offensive end and made and put a lot of pressure on Oklahoma City's defense to come away with stops, which Oklahoma City did for the most part in the first half, but they didn't in the second. The Bucks ultimately pulled away. The Thunder fell in love with the three-point arc, especially in that second half, which ultimately led them to shoot poorly. They were 1 for 16 from three-point range in the first half. 1 for 16! And the Bucks were only up 1. So kudos to the Bucks for winning the NBA Cup title. Damian Lillard didn't really surprise anyone with his play, but he still had a respectable performance. 23 points, 5 of 10 for three-point range. What helped Milwaukee win this game the last night was the boost that Gary Trent gave them off the bench. Gary Trent played well defensively, and he knocked down a couple of big threes in that second half to give Milwaukee the boost that it needed. Brooke Lopez at 13-9. And Giannis also deserved to win MVP. And there was nobody else that stood out in that game as much as he did. And allow me to say this, if it wasn't clear already, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in Bucks franchise history. Don't give me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because he only spent 5 years with the team. Oscar Robertson only spent 4 years with the team. You want to talk about Sidney Moncrief? Okay. How many championships does Sidney Moncrief have? How many points does Sidney Moncrief have? Giannis has passed every Bucks player in every statistical category over the last few seasons since he's been a member of the Bucks. Do I think this would move him up in terms of the all-time list? Probably not. He would need to win another title in order for him to be moved up all time. Now, if he ends up winning another title this year, he would legitimately go down as the second greatest power forward in NBA history behind the great Tim Duncan. Right now, to me, it is a draw between him and Kevin Garnett. Karl Malone was great. However, Malone and Stockton could not get over Jordan and the Bulls. Giannis Antetokounmpo was able to get over Booker and the Suns. He was able to overcome Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets. He was able to overcome Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. Giannis' accolades now as they stand. Two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, NBA Champion, NBA Finals MVP, NBA Cup Champion, and NBA Cup MVP. Now, what does this title mean for the Bucks? Okay? It is significant because anytime you win a trophy of any kind, you're going to get awarded for it. Okay? You're going to get rewarded for the win that you had. This is a very positive sign, though, for the Bucks, and here's why. The Bucks are 13-3 in their last 16 games. They were 2-8 to start the year. They are now 15-11, and they are on the fourth. I believe they're the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference as we speak. Now, the next few games are going to tell me a lot about where this Milwaukee Bucks team is. So this is who they have coming up. They've got at Cleveland on Friday, which is a huge game because the Cavaliers right now have the best record in the NBA. They got Washington at home Saturday. That's probably a win. They go to Chicago. Division games are always tough. And then they go to Indiana New Year's Eve. After that, they've got Brooklyn and Portland. If the Bucks keep playing like this, if the Bucks' other players keep playing like this, if they keep shooting the way that they are from three-point range on a consistent basis, there's going to be very few teams in the NBA that can stop them. AJ Green, Andre Jackson Jr. are two huge boosts for Milwaukee, as I have said pretty much ever since they've got put into the regular rotation. Bobby Portis, still legit sixth man of the year candidate. Gary Trent is better off the bench than he is in the starting lineup. The Bucks are playing a heck of a lot better, and I implore you, please watch this team when you get the chance. They have turned into one of the more exciting teams in the NBA after struggling to get out of the gate to begin the year. If the Bucks keep playing like this, they could be in the mix to win it all. They could win a 7-game series with Boston and Cleveland if they keep playing like this. The Knicks haven't impressed me with their drop-off defensively since acquiring Karl Anthony Towns. If the Bucks are willing, if the Bucks are able to keep this play up, nobody in the NBA can beat them. Something to pay attention to. Keep up the play. Bucks are now the third best team in the Eastern Conference. And they're a title contender. Plain and simple. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. It is 6:40. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our Week 16 NFL predictions.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Happy holidays from all your friends at Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox furnace dealer. Make plans now to replace that old furnace with a quality Lennox model. It will give you peace of mind for many years to come. Featuring the most cost-efficient and quietest heating systems you can buy, Lennox Furnaces offers industry-leading efficiencies that can help save hundreds of dollars in utility costs every year. Call Premier Heating and Cooling today and enjoy the confidence in knowing that your Lennox furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter. Get all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Explore the power of Lennox furnaces. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700. Wishing you a warm and cozy, happy holiday season.
Now that the cold and snow season has arrived, here's a reminder. Tomahawk Battery and Rebuilding offers a wide selection of batteries from household to heavy duty, plus new, rebuilt, and heavy duty starters, alternators, and generators. And now Tim at Tomahawk Battery is offering a selection of Snow-X snow plows and salters for the snow season, so make sure you're prepared for the winter plowing season. Whether you have a light duty truck, a regular duty, or heavy duty truck, Tim has what you need from straight blade to V plows ready to check out at Tomahawk Battery and Rebuilding, 201 North Tomahawk Avenue, across the street from the fire station. So budget now for that new plow available at Tomahawk Battery and Rebuilding, your Snow-X snow plow dealer at 453-8868. Enjoy a wonderful holiday snow season from Tomahawk Battery and Rebuilding.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday here in the Northwoods. 6:43 here at our WJJQ studios. And it's hard to believe that Christmas is a week away. You know, I personally think that one of the best traditions that you can have with a Christmas like this is that you get to spend time with family. I'm going to be heading down to my parents in Delavan this year again. And the reason why I love going down there is because that's the whole Cook Christmas. That's everybody on my dad's side of the family. Now, it's going to be weird this year, obviously, because both my parents work on Monday, and then Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, pretty much everyone has off. So, it's going to be a really, really interesting, I guess you could say that particular word, an interesting Christmas this year. However, that's what makes Christmas so great. You never know what you're going to get every single year, literally and figuratively. So, one of my other favorite things about Christmas is watching sports. You watch the NBA, now you've got the NFL that's factoring in everything as well. Here's how we're going to do this. So, obviously there's going to be no show next week with it being Christmas Day.
Wah, wah, wah.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and post my predictions for next week on the WJJQ Facebook page. I'll go ahead and post it. Just take a photo of what I typically have, which is a you know, typically a Google sheet with the teams that I have selected, and I'll go ahead and post it on our page, and we'll go from there. And I'll go ahead and just tell you, hey, this is who I'm going with, this is what I have, and just operate like that. I've done it before, but obviously I want to be sure that I get my predictions in, because I want to be sure that I try and get myself to as close to 200 wins as I possibly can, which that was my goal this year. I don't think I'm going to get it, but I consider this still a successful year. I've got 150 wins under my docket. The only way I think that I am able to get to 200 wins is if I go, is if I win 50 of my last 54 games that I have to pick, which definitely won't happen, but I digress. Without further ado, it is now time for our Week 16 NFL predictions.
Yeah, here we go!
Kicking things off, literally and figuratively, with the Chargers and the Broncos on Amazon Prime. We'll have the broadcast for you after the boys' basketball game tomorrow night here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. This is a fun one. The Chargers and the Broncos are both fighting for playoff spots. Both of them are surprises. I think the Chargers are going to win. I think it's a very, very evenly matched game, but I'm going to take the Chargers to beat the Broncos 23-20. Houston taking on Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes probably will not go due to the high ankle sprain that he suffered. I'm going to operate under the assertion that he's not going to play, and I'm going to take the Texans to win 21-17. Baltimore at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a classic AFC North showdown with division and playoff implications. This, to me, is a toss-up game. I'm going to take the Ravens to win, though, and here is the biggest reason why. I think that Lamar Jackson is going to put forth another MVP-type performance, not similar to what he had against the Giants, but I think a four-touchdown game's in the works. Baltimore over Pittsburgh, 28-24. Atlanta at home taking on the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
Falcons going with Michael Penix as their starting quarterback, benching Kirk Cousins. It doesn't matter to me who starts for Atlanta. Falcons win 20-17. Detroit taking on the Chicago Bears. Bears officially eliminated from playoff contention. I think the Lions will win easily despite all the injuries they have, 35-14. Indianapolis at home to take on the Tennessee Titans. Colts are fighting for their playoff lives. They're currently 6-8. Their loss last week to Denver was a really, really big blow, but I think they bounce back and I think they get the win over Tennessee, 24-14. Rams at New York to take on the Jets. Jets have been playing a little bit better, but unfortunately it's been too little too late. Rams fighting for that NFC West title along with Seattle. I'm going to take the Rams to win. I think it will be close, but I think LA ultimately pulls away and wins 28-24. Now we're going to go into our NFC East showdown. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Washington Commanders at Landover, Maryland. The Commanders, meanwhile, they are currently 9-5. They have the 7th wild card spot. They are right there, nip and tuck with the rest of the teams in that particular conference. However, they're going against the Eagles, who have won 10 straight games and have looked like the best team in the NFL as we speak. I will take the Eagles to win. I think it's going to be a close back-and-forth game. I think Jaden Daniels will play better in this game than when he did against the Eagles the first time out on the road. So I'm going to take Philadelphia to win. I think it'll be close, though. It'll be 30-20. Meanwhile, Arizona, they're in Carolina to take on the Panthers. Carolina's now eliminated from playoff contention. Arizona, they're also fighting for an NFC West title. They're 7-7, and I'm going to take the Cardinals to win. It'll probably be a close game because the Cardinals like to tease people into thinking games are close sometimes. I'll take Arizona to win 24-17. Buffalo at home to take on the New England Patriots. The Bills still fighting for a number one seed, and they now have a legitimate shot to get it now with Patrick Mahomes out. I am going to take the Bills to win 38-17 over New England. Patriots, to me, are playing for draft positioning at this point. Cincinnati at home to take on the Cleveland Browns. Browns benching Jameis Winston, going to Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And I'm going to take the Bengals to win this game. The Bengals have faint playoff hopes that are still alive. I think they win 28-17. Minnesota in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Seahawks coming off a loss to Green Bay. The Vikings have won 6 straight. And this is my upset of the week.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I am going to take the Seahawks over the Vikings, 28-24. Go ahead and call me crazy, but I believe that the winning streak has to end for Minnesota. Jacksonville at Vegas to take on the Raiders. This is my toilet bowl of the week. Jacksonville over Vegas, 17-14. Miami at home to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Both these teams, their playoff hopes are starting to fade away. I'm going to take the Dolphins to win simply because I feel like they can win on the road in a warm weather environment, 23-20. Sunday Night Football we'll have for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tampa Bay in Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Cowboys, they're also fighting for a playoff spot. Again, they're on the backside looking in as well. Tampa Bay is fighting for an NFC South Division title, which would get them a home playoff game. And I think Tampa Bay, it'll be closer, but I think they'll ultimately pull away in Big D. Buccaneers over Dallas, 21-20. And then Monday Night Football we'll have for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ as the Green Bay Packers take on the New Orleans Saints. Back at Lambeau Field, Green Bay, they've been playing really well as of late. The Saints, they are all but eliminated from postseason contention. I'm going to take the Packers to win 30-17. Those are my NFL Week 16 predictions on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. It is now 6:51. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back with our final countdown in our local sports for the rest of the week after this.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Queue with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Tired of living with pain and discomfort? Would you like help that's invested in your progress and your personal goals? And if so, Health in Motion Physical Therapy is here for you. Health in Motion ensures you'll receive personalized care from a team of experienced therapists who have remained dedicated to treating the Tomahawk community. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Health in Motion will discuss your insurance benefits with you so you know what to expect before treatment starts. And they offer affordable self-pay rates so you can focus on feeling better, not unexpected bills. Don't wait in pain. Take the first steps toward a pain-free life by calling Health in Motion at 715-453-6650 or visit himwi.com to schedule your appointment. Once again, go to himwi.com and schedule your appointment. Health in Motion wants you to get back to the activities you love quickly so you don't have to be in physical therapy longer than you need to be.
So come on, choose Health in Motion for you.
Hi, this is Mike Krewald from Dunn Financial Services in downtown Tomahawk. Are you or a loved one on Medicare or nearing Medicare age and are confused about all your plan options? At Dunn Financial Services, we don't just represent one company. In fact, we are contracted with every available Medicare Advantage plan and most Medicare Supplement and Part D plans available in Lincoln and Oneida counties. You can trust our guidance in helping you choose the right plan for your health insurance needs. Call me at 493-3116 for a no-cost, no-obligation appointment to review your Medicare options. Remember, you don't save a penny more by enrolling directly with an insurance company instead of your local insurance professional. And as your neighbor, we will be here for service beyond your enrollment. Call Dunn Financial Services at 493-3116 and let us simplify your Medicare life. We don't offer every plan available in your area. Any information we provide is limited to those plans we do offer in your area. Please contact Medicare.gov or 1-800-MEDICARE to get information on all your options.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It is now 6:53 here at our WJJQ studios. Before we get into our local sporting events of the week for this week, we'll only do up until Christmas this week, since if we were to do a Sports Queue show on Christmas Day, the events that would take place would be during that particular show. But again, no Sports Queue next week.
Wah, wah, wah.
But we will have one New Year's Day. Which is a wonderful thing. Let's go ahead and take a look at some local events coming up tomorrow. To start off, we're going to have Hatchet Boys Basketball on the air for you here on WJJQ. Tomahawk is going to head up to Mercer. The Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show will begin at 5:20 and tip-off will be at 5:45. Terry Tim's going to join me in the broadcast booth from Mercer tomorrow night. Other boys basketball teams in action. Medford is heading down to Merrill, and Three Lakes Phelps will be hosting Wakefield Marinseco from the UP Michigan. For girls basketball for tomorrow, Shawamigan will be in Athens. Crandon is hosting Leona Wabino. Medford is in McDonald Central Catholic, and Phillips is in Laney Smith. And plus, there'll be a basketball doubleheader coming up Elko at Goodman Pembine tomorrow. Hockey for tomorrow. Tomahawk will be hosting Medford, currently ranked number one in the state in Division II. Shawamigan hosting Spooner. Lakeland is in Northland Pines. Rhinelander is in Waupaca. Mosinee is in Anago. And for boys wrestling, Tomahawk will be joining Medford and Mosinee in a quad at Lakeland, and Rhinelander will be in Anago. For boys swimming tomorrow, Tomahawk will be in Shawano, Rhinelander is in Anago, and Lakeland is in Medford. For Friday, Tomahawk boys and girls wrestling will both be in action Friday. The boys will be in Rhinelander, and the girls will be in Wrightstown. For hockey, Lakeland will take on West Bend, and Medford has WSLFG. Boys basketball, Tomahawk is in Rhinelander, Anago is in Mosinee, Northland Pines is in Lakeland, Phillips is in Athens, and Rib Lake is in Abbotsford. And for girls basketball, Tomahawk hosts Rhinelander, Mosinee is in Anago, Lakeland is in Northland Pines, Prentice is in Rib Lake, Crandon is in Coleman, and Merrill is in Pittsville. For wrestling on Saturday, the Saturday before Christmas, hard to believe, Anago, Medford, and Lakeland boys and girls will be in Shawano, and the Mosinee boys and girls will be in Fond du Lac. We are also going to have Hatchet Hockey on the air for you Saturday afternoon from Sarah Park and Tomahawk as the Hatchets take on the West Bend Bears. Coverage will begin with the Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show at 12:35 and opening faceoff at 1 o'clock from Sarah Park, and good old Zach Garner will be right back in the broadcast booth with me. Other hockey games that day, Shawamigan will be hosting Shawano, and Waupaca will be in Beloit Memorial. And for boys basketball, coming up on Saturday, Lakeland will be hosting Oneida Nation. Meanwhile, Leona Wabino, they do have one final road trip. They are going to Sevastopol. That's all coming up, leading up until Christmas Day. So, thank you everyone for tuning into the Sports Queue throughout the 2024 calendar year here on WJJQ. You know, obviously, this is my favorite time of year, and I honestly wish that we could do a show on Christmas Day because I think it'd be a lot of fun. But a lot of people up here, including me, will be going out of town to see family. And I think that there is nothing better than to go enjoy sports over holiday break and watch Christmas and basketball during Christmas Day. Nothing better than that. So, as we go ahead and look into Christmas Day, look into the holiday break, please remember, be kind, be safe, and remember to have fun. Let me be the first to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year for myself here at WJJQ and the rest of our wonderful team here at WJJQ. It's now time to get into our final countdown. So we got two more broadcasts before the end of the calendar year. Tomahawk boys basketball in action tomorrow at Mercer. That will be broadcast here on WJJQ. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 5:20. Tip off at 5:45. Terry Timble joined me in the broadcast booth. And then our final Hatchet broadcast of the 2024 calendar year will be Saturday afternoon. We'll be back at Sarah Park in Tomahawk as the Hatchets take on the West Bend Bears. Join me and Zach Garner for the Fairman Orthodontics radio pregame show at 12:35 and opening faceoff at 1 o'clock from Sarah Park and Tomahawk for Tomahawk and West Bend. Thank you very much for tuning into the Sports Queue throughout the 2024 calendar year here on WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Thank you very much for tuning in, everyone. Have a sportacular week. Have a sportacular Christmas. A sportacular New Year. And I'll see you all New Year's Day. Hail!
listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.